You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll get nostalgic over what might be the coolest school supply of all time, the Trapper Keeper.
But first, the University of Wisconsin-Madison was recently named the number two party school in the nation by Playboy magazine. And while some are cheering that designation, others point to the serious consequences alcohol use can have among students.
It's a problem that's plagued UW-Madison, colleges around the state and country for years. The college drinking culture seems to be alive and well, but what's being done to try and tackle it?
Joining us now is Dr. Sarah Van Orman, Executive Director of University Health Services at UW-Madison. Dr. Orman, welcome to the show. Dr. Orman, are you with us? We have the guest, and we are just going to try to get her on the line. I know that she is there with us. We're working on it. Well, how about in the meantime, what do you think about college drinking culture? Does this come as good news to you that UW-Madison is getting some recognition, or are you worried about this? And let's see if we have Dr. Orman with us. Are you there, Dr. Orman?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Excellent. Thank you so much for your patience.
No problem.
Well, as we mentioned, the UW was recently named the number two party school in the country. And from your perspective, what do you think about that designation?
I think unfortunately, it doesn't really represent the experience of a lot of students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I think that when we think about that designation, often what we're thinking about is a culture that's associated with really high-risk alcohol use. And that's unfortunately something that causes our students a lot of harm. What we do know is that most of what our students love about being here is being with friends, the great education they get, all the activities they are involved in. So we try to celebrate those things rather than a culture of excessive alcohol use.
So do you have to attack sort of both of those prongs at the same time, excessive alcohol use and, you know, accentuating different positive stuff?
Yeah, I think that's what we try to do. I mean, we certainly know that alcohol and high-risk alcohol use is a major public health problem on our campus, as it is on many campuses. And we know that that's associated with really serious harm for our students. And unfortunately, it also gets in the way of what the good parts and why they're here, which is getting a good education, moving on with their lives. So we really do try to focus on both of those things.
How big of a problem would you say that alcohol is, and in specific binge drinking at UW college campuses?
It unfortunately is a really significant problem. We typically think about problematic alcohol use, as you said, is sort of binge drinking, and that is sort of consuming enough alcohol quickly enough that people reach a point of intoxication where they're going to become incapacitated. We know that probably on the UW-Madison campus among undergraduates, around 60% or so, and that number changes some over time, of students report binge drinking, at least occasionally, and maybe a quarter of students report more frequent binge drinking, sort of a few times, three times within a two-week period. That number is higher than what we see nationally at institutions of higher ed, and it actually is a little higher than even what we see within the system schools.
Well, the college drinking culture isn't necessarily unique to UW-Madison, but do you think that being in Wisconsin sort of amplifies the problem, seeing, you know, as, you know, according to a lot of what we read and hear, drinking culture is so ingrained in the state's culture?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. So I think sometimes in Madison we have a little bit of a perfect storm around high-risk alcohol use, in that we certainly know that it is something associated with campuses, with institutions of higher ed. But we also are in the state that on most measures of alcohol misuse ranks number one in the nation. So we're in this culture and this state where alcohol consumption is higher and high-risk alcohol consumption is higher. And then we certainly know that we're sort of in this environment, and Madison is a little bit of a draw for other people to come to our community. For example, one of the things that we know is that when we look at kind of, you know, arrests and those things around our campus, many times we have actually students coming from out of state, from other campuses to Madison to engage in some of this high-risk alcohol use. So we're a draw.
Well, when you look at things like TV shows and movies, it sort of seems like that is the default position. Kids go to college and they party and they drink a lot. And a lot of those scenes are shot as funny that people are drinking really hard and drinking a lot and the sort of mayhem that ensues. Is that part of the problem here, the way that we sort of perceive the college years?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you brought up that point, that we find ourselves even sometimes, you know, it's sort of, you know, laughing about it, kind of the classic, you know, Animal House kind of picture that this is kind of what college is about, is consuming alcohol. And not just consuming alcohol and being with your friends and having a good time, but consuming alcohol really in the kind of more is better, to the point of an incapacitation, to the point of behaviors that are harmful, but that really is seen as sort of funny or a joke. And I think that's the thing we really need to change. Because the numbers about the consequences of that, the short and long term, are actually pretty staggering.
Tell us about some of those consequences. What are they?
So I think when we look at it, first of all, looking at our own campus, we know that about a third of our students on this campus report some sort of an academic consequence from that. So missing classes, doing poorly in their coursework. So really pretty high numbers. Nationally, we know that there's probably around 2,000 students that actually die from alcohol poisoning or overdose. You know, 600,000 injuries, 100,000 cases of sexual assault. So those are pretty large numbers. On our campus, you know, we have a few 100 to 150 students who go to detox every year. And so those are numbers that both are a real impact to that individual student as well as to our community.
So what kinds of things is CW system doing to address, you know, the drinking culture on campus?
So some of the things that we're working on are a variety of different programs. One of the things when we think about effective alcohol policy, it's really important to remember there isn't sort of one thing that you can do. You have to have a multiple strategies at once, and you have to have strategies that work at every level. So we think about really talking about we have to have things that work at the individual student level, that work at the sort of group level, that work at the institutional level, and then work at the community level. And if you work on any one of those levels without the other, you're probably not going to be effective. So some of the things we've done recently at UW-Madison is just this fall, we've implemented for the first time alcohol education for all incoming students.
And this is mandatory?
It is mandatory, yeah. Well, it's required this year. In subsequent years, we'll actually be placing a hold on students' registration for it. But at this point, as of about a week ago, we have over 90% of incoming students have completed it. It really provides good education for students as well as personalized feedback on how they're drinking now. So we're really hopeful that over a period of time that may make a difference.
And what else?
Other things we've done in the last few years, we are also working, we implemented 2 years ago a program called Basics, which again works for students actually after they've had difficulty. So a student who might have been taken to detox or had an encounter with our police department or our housing staff are required to complete this program, really, that has some evidence behind it suggesting that works with students using, you know, evidence-based methods to try to prevent them from ever being in that situation again. We also are, you know, excited to partner with our community around some of the other community strategies that may be helpful in this.
So what kind of response are you getting from students? Does it seem like a drag to them, especially those incoming students who are getting this alcohol edu? Or do you think you're actually getting somewhere?
I think we're very hopeful with it. Our students have been involved in the selection of the product that we're using. Our student government has been very supportive of this. I think students don't want to be in an environment where alcohol impacts them and impacts the culture and the climate of where they are. They don't want the safety issues. They don't want the injuries. So students have actually been great partners in these efforts.
We're talking with Dr. Sarah Van Orman about the college drinking culture in Wisconsin and beyond, and we want to hear from you. What do you think colleges should be doing to address the drinking culture, and what do you think about it viewed as sort of a particular problem that Wisconsin seems to have with drinking culture? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to talk@WPR.org. We'll get to your calls after the break.
You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. We're continuing our discussion now with Dr. Sarah Van Orman about binge drinking on college campuses, and we want to hear from you.
Well, what do you think can be done to address the college drinking culture? And curious about what's going on your campus. If you're in college, do you see the binge drinking that you might expect given a number two party designation at UW-Madison? And do you think there is this idea out there that you have to party, that you have to drink a lot to have fun in college? Is it true? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And we go to the phones now. We've got Steve joining us from Menominee. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
What do you think?
I'm a physician in Menominee, Wisconsin. We're a college town with UW-Stout, so I see a lot firsthand of some of the drinking issues we have in Wisconsin. I guess I have two comments. One is that, you know, we'll sometimes see kids going out on their 21st birthday at midnight and drinking till bar close at 2 a.m., which is quite dangerous practice. I have a daughter going to college in North Dakota, and I mentioned that to her when she turned 21, and she says, well, don't be silly. I wouldn't do that. That's also not allowed in North Dakota. So that'd be one simple measure we could take.
What do you mean? I'm curious that it's not allowed. Not at the 21-year-old age, or what is it? What is it that's
not allowed? They don't allow them. They can't drink at midnight when they turn 21.
Oh.
Whereas in Wisconsin, that 21 birthday, you can start drinking at midnight, and then when bar closes at 2, you try to drink as much as you can during that 2-hour window.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
So, in North Dakota, they'd have to wait till the next day.
All right. And you're up at the UW-Stout campus. Do you see, a culture like this, especially maybe as you talk to your daughter about what it's like in Nebraska? Does she sort of report back on that same kind of culture?
Sorry, I couldn't quite catch the question.
Just wondering if how Wisconsin compared as a drinking culture to where your daughter is at a different school, a different state.
Yeah, it seems to be quite a bit different. I know when I went to her orientation, they kind of made a big deal about drinking, and they said, we expect you, if you choose to drink responsibly. If you get into legal difficulty, you will come to the school and answer your school administrators and try to explain to us why you should stay in school. This is at University of North Dakota in Grand Forks. Mm. They seem to take a pretty more strict approach from the college standpoint than I've seen in Wisconsin.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Steve. And what do you think about some of those things that Steve had to say, Dr. Van Orman?
Well, I think those are really good points. I think his comment about the 21 is really important. We actually, nationally, it's actually very much of a risk factor, and there's campuses that have tried to do things about targeting students, but a number of highly publicized cases and some evidence of students dying actually on their 21st birthday because of exactly what the kinds of behaviors he's describing. So I think, though, what he's talking about with things about like the laws is there are some really effective policy things and things that we can do to address those sorts of things. So that's a great example of a kind of a law or regulation that really targets what we know is a high-risk moment in time. And so, there's a lot that the campus can do and the community, the institution can do, but then there's a lot that the community can and needs to do on this. And some of this really does have to do with the regulatory framework for alcohol in the community that sits around a university.
All right. Well, thanks for that call. And we go next to James in Oshkosh. Hi, James.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
And what do you think?
Yeah. I think that drinking has become kind of a big issue on campus. I used to hang out with a group of friends that drinking was the big thing, and especially, I'd say, freshman year up to junior year, I'd say. It was a really big issue. We'd go out three, four times a week sometimes, and sometimes it just got out of hand. And I mean, I've made the right choices now, getting on the right track and all, but a couple of my buddies, I mean, I've seen them get three or four drinking tickets, and it's very damaging, especially like when it comes to schoolwork and everything like that, keeping up. It's, I don't know, it's pretty hard.
So, James, do you think looking back that you see it as kind of a rite of passage in what you go through when you go to college and that people grow out of it, or is it something that can actually stick with you for a long time?
I almost kind of see, yeah, it can be like a rite of passage, but at the same time, I used to bartend on Main Street, and that was, it was kind of a big deal, like, even within the community. On that standpoint, it's almost kind of ingrained in the culture, you know, but I guess it almost takes like a certain slap in the face to get you on the right track, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your thoughts on that. And Dr. Van Orman, what do you think about that?
Yeah, those are really good observations. The other thing, this is a little bit hard to get the exact statistics on this, but I think he's right that for many students, they may have high-risk drinking in college, and then as they move into, you know, jobs and things like that, that changes. But we think maybe up to a quarter of students who have high-risk drinking in college go on to develop alcohol dependency problems, more like an alcohol addiction. So that's also very concerning in terms of their long-term health and well-being. So it absolutely, for many students, it's actually not a rite of passage.
All right. Well, thank you for that call. And let's go to Dan next. Dan in Menominee. Hi, Dan.
Hi there.
Hey.
I also happen to be from the Stout area, so I got to see some of the drinking that Steve mentioned. My question for your guest is, do you think that stricter alcohol laws actually prevent drinking, or do you think it just turns it into something that you can only do at a party school?
All right, good question. Thanks, Dan. And Dr. Van Orman?
It's a great question. There is evidence that we know. There's sort of a good colleague of mine who works in this area talks about the kind of four levers for alcohol, and it has to do with the ability to get it, the attractiveness, the affordability, and the acceptability. We know that there's pretty good evidence that laws that reduce the ability for people to get alcohol, and that primarily is through increased enforcement of the minimum legal drinking age through sales, through the provision of alcohol, through compliance checks, reduce alcohol-related issues around college campuses. The other issue is simply the cost of alcohol, and we know that Wisconsin has very, very low-cost alcohol because of very low alcohol taxes. Now, those are things that we as a community have to have a conversation about to decide if we know those things, those kinds of changes might reduce the issue, but there's obviously a cost associated with them. But the most effective things are actually probably reducing the availability of alcohol and increasing the cost of alcohol.
Well, thanks for the call, Dan. Appreciate that. And we just got a really interesting email from an anonymous listener who says, at orientation, before he even started at UW, my son's class was told by the Madison police that they would not be hassled if they were just drinking in their room, minding their own business. The policeman said something like, if you're running down State Street naked, then you're in trouble. And it gave them the clear message that drinking was okay. And goes on to say, another son just started at UWM, and they were basically told the same thing. Although the message they're giving the kids is about drinking safely, the kids laugh it off as getting a free pass to drinking. Although my son is on the dean's list now in his fourth year, I truly wonder about him leaving there next year with a serious drinking problem. What would you say to that parent?
Well, I would say I appreciate you sending that to me, and that's absolutely something that you, that's not a message your son should have received. So I'm sorry that that happened, and I think, you know, we also need to make sure that we're giving consistent messages. When we look at best practices, that's also exactly one, is to make sure we are giving consistent messages. I think it gets back to one of your earlier points that sometimes it's so easy to laugh about this, even those of us who are in, you know, leadership positions or with the police. It's so easy to make this into a joke, and it's really not. So we also have to do our work better to be consistent about this. So I appreciate that.
You're talking about, you know, your job affiliated with the university, with health services. What would you tell parents that they can do to try to do some preemptive parenting about the drinking that their kids are going to encounter in college before they get to college?
That's such an important role that parents can play in this. So I think it's really important for parents to talk to their students about alcohol. I think they have to set their expectations. And even though a student may not necessarily, they may make their own choices, I think knowing what their parents' expectations are really important. I think you can set expectations at the same time that you help students understand alcohol, and, you know, understand what the minimum, you know, what a, the blood alcohol content is, understand the effects of alcohol, and help your student really see the connection between how they choose to drink and their long-term goals. You know, if they want to, you know, have a certain GPA or have a certain major or a certain professional career, helping them start to understand at this age that there is a connection for the, between those things. And then I think also having a conversation about some of the safety issues around alcohol and how drinking, particularly a point of incapacitation, really puts them at risk for some of those things. So it's a long conversation. And then the last thing I'd say about the conversation around alcohol is to sort of have it before they start school. And then really those first couple months that they're on campus is when we know students' drinking patterns change quite a bit. So really keep asking them, are you drinking? How much? Talking to them about it.
So keep the conversation going even when they're in college.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Dr. Van Orman, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for talking about this important area.
We've been talking to Dr. Sarah Van Orman, Executive Director of University Health Services at UW-Madison.